children feel more safe when their parent is steady. Not when they're nice, not when they're their friend, not when they give in. The feel-goody, warm, fuzzy stuff isn't safety. Welcome to the only therapy podcast that can actually change your life. I'm therapist Amy Neufeld, and I do things a little differently around here. I'm going to give you clinical insight you've never heard before. And best of all, I'm going to tell you what to actually do to change your fucking life. This is Now What? This whole episode is why not to be best friends with your child. I've seen it play out hundreds of times in my office, and it doesn't go so well.
Hundreds of times sounds very dramatic. Like, are we being real here? Like, that's actually hundreds of times that people are coming in with this problem?
I mean, maybe it sounds a little dramatic, but I am barely inflating that number.
Really?
This whole, yeah, I promise you, a parent and best friend as their child, it can jeopardize. And I don't say that dramatically. I mean it. It can jeopardize the safety that your child feels in relationships with themselves and with other people.
So, okay, I want to just jump in quickly and say for listeners, I'm always the voice of the everyman. And I think that it's important as someone is starting to listen to this episode. Well, first of all, if they clicked on the episode, they know what they're getting. They know that this episode is going to be talking about how being best friends with your kid is going to be more damaging than helpful. And they could already be feeling defensive.
I want to start off by saying I am not taking closeness away from anybody. You get to still be super close with your child. You get to do things with them. You get to hang out with them. I'm great with all of that. In fact, I want that to happen. The best friend part, what it takes away, Andrea, is the safety that a child feels. So we're living in an anxious nation right now. We've all agreed to that. There's books on the shelves of every bookstore lined up about having anxious children out there. Parents provide safety, which brings anxiety down. They do that because they have an authority. They're the leaders. So in order to be that safe spot, you need to be the one that is in charge. It feels really scary when no one's in charge here. They're not fully developed humans yet. So they need somebody making the rules, setting boundaries.
I feel like everybody knows that. Like, isn't that like an obvious?
Tell me more. Isn't that obvious?
Yeah. Isn't it obvious? Most people who are a parent, they understand that it is their job, role, whatever, to be the safe person in that dynamic. So are you telling me that if a child perceives mom or dad as their bestie, that then they in turn don't feel as safe? What's
Correct.
Happening?
Let me tell you, a parent role is not equal. So we are not equal with our children. We have an authority over them. We are the ones making the rules. So a friendship has a shared power, and a parent is in an authority position. So the power is different. Therefore, in a friendship, no one is the boss. And in a parent-child relationship, yes, there is a boss. There is. I'm not asking you to be some authoritarian figure. We're not talking about parenting style. We're talking about role. The role of a parent is to be the safe place. Therefore, you need to have authority.
Okay. So basically, it's that you think that you're doing your child a service, right? You think in our minds like, oh, they're going to feel so much more connected and closer to me. And I'm making them feel so loved because not only are you my son, but you're my best friend. But what that actually does is it changes the dynamic of who's the stronger, kinder, wiser person between the two of them. And it's like, we're equals now. And that's the last thing that a child should feel, right? Like, not, you are not equals. Mom, dad, whoever, I'm still the boss. I've got you. Because that's what you need to feel safe and secure, right?
Correct. You are the leader as the parent. So as the parent, you're making the decisions. I have clients that come in that with their six-year-olds will say, where do you think we should move? Where do you think we should move? That's a big, they're not, again, fully developed humans. It's okay to say, what color do you want your walls? But
yeah,
that big of a decision is not on a child. So if we think in terms of, I'm the one making the decisions here, that will help you define your role.
Go ahead. What's your thought?
Yeah, I had a reaction to that. Not from me. I don't make any mistakes, but why are you laughing? But from other people in my world, in the divorce world, you see a lot of that. And I think it's what's hard, not to go off on like a divorce tangent, but when you have a married unit that is shifting, right? And you're losing your spouse, right? Whether it was your choice or not your choice, that union is breaking. Naturally, we want to replace that like immediately. And sometimes you go for the easiest person in the room, which could even be your six-year-old, and you don't think you're doing it. Mm-hmm. You don't think that you're making this person your best friend or your spouse, but they are, and they start asking those questions. I have found, even with me, it could be as simple. Like, I've noticed sometimes I give my kids too much free rein with, like, what do we want to do for dinner tonight? Instead of saying, all right, boys, here are the options. And even the difference between giving them three options where they still feel like mom has some sense. I have some amount of control and power in this. I'm giving you three options as opposed to, I have no ideas. You're my girlfriend who I've been texting tonight. Where should we meet for drinks tonight?
Right.
And I even noticed, this is so funny, this happened last night. My kid was in a talent show last night, and after the talent show, we wanted to go out to dinner to celebrate the fact that he jumped up and down on stage 4 times, and it was great, right? We're celebrating gravity here. Really, he's very talented. But after the show, I'm like, where do you want to go for dinner? And he said to me, because he should be a freaking therapist, he's 9, he said, Mommy, that puts a lot of pressure on me.
Oh my
gosh.
Can
you please give me options?
Fantastic. I guess, underscore that idea. When my kids were little, I decided what was for dinner every night. I just made it, right? We will go into the dinner battles on another episode, but I put down a plate of food. Cut to now, you know, years later, I have these young adults, and now we're having the conversations of, what do you feel like tonight? Can you go pick it up? Or I don't feel like cooking. That's because you do get to be a different type of person in your child's life later. There's the key point. As you're growing these things, as you're growing these humans, this is the time for you to stay in your lane. You are the parent. And by making decisions, by staying in that role, that leadership role, that keeps you out of the friend zone. And that's really important. And I'll tell you, that is a link to anxiety when they feel all those kinds of decisions. I love your son. Well done. Who's his therapist? I got to talk to them.
Actually, we're between people right now, so hook me up.
Well, whoever did a good job, well done.
Okay. Is that it? Is that all the insight we have here? Is it just
So that's it. If you are in the parent role, the friends get to deliver all kinds of great stuff for your child to learn. You cannot as the parent. So, Episode 1, we talked about where growth happens, and it's in the messy part of life. We grow in the shit that's hard. That's what helps shape us. So the friends,
You're talking about, when you just said episode 1, you're talking about when we talked about ChatGPT.
Correct.
And how you, help me understand this.
Okay.
You're not growing with chat because of what?
Okay. So chat gives you what you want all the time. There's some helpful shit to that, but it's not giving you the stuff that you need to grow. The parts that feel a little hard are a little nerve-wracking, like in friendships. Okay. The hard stuff would be rejection. Your parents not rejecting you, so that you're not going to experience rejection tolerance. What do I do when I feel a little, ooh, that one stung? We need to have our children feel the ouches that friendships deliver in order to help them grow and understand relationships better, and themselves too.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it is. It's so really hard.
And I didn't think I was going to say that. I thought that I was going to nod my head and be like, yeah, that sounds right. I don't want to watch my kids suffer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. That sounds awful. I don't want, especially when, I mean, being a kid is really hard. I get it now. It's so funny. I did not think, when I knew that I was going to like talk about this with you, I was thinking like, I don't want to be best friends with my kid. Like, this does not apply to me at all. But hearing you say that, I'm thinking, well, I don't hate that I have to let my kids go and have these friendships. And kids are dicks.
Yeah.
Kids are dumb.
Yeah, and they can be really tough.
They're mean.
And I sometimes want to say, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. I'm about to say this out loud, but I feel sometimes, and I just said I have two boys. I'm like, do you want to go hang out with your dumb friends or do you want to just go get your nails done with me?
Oh my God, that's not right.
We don't want to think in black and white, and we're not taking closeness away. And saying that doesn't mean you are becoming best friends with your children. We may not want to say dumb friends.
They're dumb.
Okay, that's fair.
Like it's been proven.
I really want to hone in on this point a little bit more. Friends can deliver experiences that parents cannot. What happens when it gets tough is the parent wants to swoop in and be the friend and say, and replace it, saying, no, 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 I can make you feel good. Come on, look, let's go get our nails done, or let's go kick the soccer ball around. All you need is me. What that does is it protects too much. We're bubble wrapping our children so that they don't feel they're capable of handling hard stuff. We do want to be the place where they come and say, oh my God, recess was so hard today. And we want them to come to us with their problems and ask us, I don't get why I wasn't invited to the party. Here is where you get to hold space as a parent and not jump in as their friend, but just be there as their parent that knows more, that is steady and can stay the parent and not feel the feels, but let the kid feel the feel.
You need hard stuff with another human in order for all of those things that go on in our brain that help us grow and get used to being uncomfortable, because that's when we grow, when we're uncomfortable. So it's a little bit of that. And then the other part of it that I got from it is what I find the hardest part of parenting, which is that so much of our job is to, one of my therapists uses the phrase being with, like you're being with them while they're suffering and not wanting to fix.
Yes. Stay out of fix for sure. And again, believe you me, there is so many different places we can go down. But if we are going to stick to this concept of best friends, you do hit on a very key part. Again, we'll go back to your role and what part you play when they come in hurt. If you think of it as the peers are the training ground and your role is to prepare them to function without you. So you always want to be keeping that in mind. You're not replacing a friend that is hurting them. You are letting them feel that hurt so that then they can grow from that and understand that. That's what's going to help shape them into the human they want to be. If everything's done in this perfect little relationship, it's like a relationship in a vacuum. Nothing bad comes in. They're not going to know how to navigate friendships, relationships themselves outside in the real world. Okay. So parents can't be what friends can give them. You can't replace that rejection feeling and you can't give them social courage. They don't need courage to be with you unless you're an asshole of a parent. Sorry, I'm just kidding. They don't need the courage to be with you. They need to understand what social courage feels like, to join the lunch table, even though they're a little nervous.
Wait, but I have another question.
Okay, go.
Are we saying that if you are best friends, I'm going to do air quotes, best friends with air quotes, with your child, does that mean that they are then put at a disadvantage to go make peer best friends? Because I'm thinking, well, I don't go to school with my kid. They're going to still sit at the lunch table. They still have to do these interactions. But is there something going on then in their brain that we're messing up?
Well, what
are they going to compare their friendship with mommy to their friendship with Jackson and Jaden and Jodin and Johnin and all of these other made up names these days?
And they all have to start with J.
They all do. Or like an apostrophe or like a click or a snap.
What's happening is they won't develop the muscle. They won't understand what it is like to be in peer-to-peer relationship. And they will know, I don't need that because I've got my bestie at home. So not only aren't they developing, they're going to be the weird, they're going to be the teen that has this awkward way of interacting with somebody, or when things get too hard, they bail. So it is not developing the muscles and the tolerance and the skills it takes to receive friendships and the yucky shit that comes with it. Remember, this is training ground, how to become a person. They're learning how to be them. And then they're also not needing it as much because they know they have something like that that fills that bucket at home.
Mm,
Yeah.
Shit. I have more work than I thought.
Can we be done with this conversation? I started it thinking like, yeah, I'm just going to help the people.
And but now wait a minute. Like, repair work is the best. So if there is something that you think, let me tweak this a little bit, that's real growth for both of you in the relationship. I don't want us to confuse closeness, togetherness, doing things with your child. I don't want you to confuse that with best friends. There's a big difference. Do the game night every Sunday. That's something I prescribe in my practice. Hang out with your child. That's all great. We're talking about fine-tuning roles. Actually, I'm going to tell you what to do to make the change. Before we do that, though, for this particular conversation, I do want to talk to a very important piece to this. In childhood, we have different stages. Developmentally, they reach this point where they have to differentiate in order to individuate. Yeah, fuck those words. What has to happen? I know. I caught myself.
Good. You said it, not me.
Okay, great. What has to happen is they want to feel separate from you so that they can develop into their own. That's all that means. If they are best friends with their parents.
When does that happen? At what age does that?
Yeah, it starts in adolescence. So it's starting earlier and earlier. Really, we're always working towards that. But there's a point where that happens in adolescence, where they're starting to differentiate, which means become their own person outside how they see themselves as their parents' child. There's a point where they start to separate because they need to see themselves as a different label. That's when they're becoming independent. Again, what are we doing all this for? It's to grow a self-sufficient human being out there in the world. That has to happen with this pull away, with this separation. If a child feels like they're besties with their parent, it's going to bring on the guilt. It's going to feel like abandonment. It's actually going to feel like abandonment to both parties. The parent's going to feel like their child's abandoning them, and the child's going to feel the same way and have a guilt for picking to choose to go out with their friend instead of stay home or go to the mall with their parent.
Which we see all the time, again, going back to my world, just in the divorce world between two parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you start again with this, you know, I've lost my spouse, and so now I might start using some language, not even realizing I'm using it, and I'm turning my daughter into my bestie, then on those days when she's got to go to dad's house, they feel that like loyalty conflict.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, I don't want to, I'm not only leaving mom, I'm leaving my bestie. Like, what is she going to do without me? I mean, I did this with my boys. I remember because I think I wanted them to feel safe and I didn't realize I wasn't making them feel safer. I was making them have a
allegiance or a pull.
Unhealthy attachment. But I mean, again, all you have to do is meet me once and you too will have an unhealthy detachment. I'm like a magnet. But no, I did that, you know, and yeah.
Okay. With individuating or with becoming your own self, what we're doing there when we go out into the world as humans in this stage of individuation, but when we're trying to feel like we're somebody outside of a child, that separateness is really, really important. So if we're tied to a bestie, it's extremely hard to separate. And parents, your job, part of your job description is to give permission to separate by action, by relationship. So if you're besties, you're not receiving as the child the permission to separate. When you're in the role of parent, that permission is understood and felt. So it makes it easier to leave and go make a choice to be with friends, peers, equals. When we talk about this pulling in, you said it, safety. I promise you, I see it day in and day out in my office. Children feel more safe when their parent is steady.
Yep.
Not when they're nice, not when they're their friend, not when they give in. The feel-goody, warm, fuzzy stuff isn't safety.
I have to say, so I'll tell you guys, personally, my little guy who I mentioned earlier, the talent show participant, he has a lot of anxiety. He knows it. So I'll say it. We know it. I have seen now the shift when you become stronger in those boundaries and in the like, I am your leader. But like, you know, like I've got you, buddy. It's not always the like, again, going back to like, where do you want to go for dinner? Something that could be so benign.
yeah. in our eyes is not yep. to them. I also want to say, because I think it's important to say it, because I'm thinking if I were a listener right now, and if you're at all wired like how I'm wired, you might be feeling like, oh my God, ouch. Oh my God, am I hurting these people whom I love more than anything in this world? And I will tell you, and hopefully Amy will back me here, but you will because you're a mommy. This is so hard. Like being, this is so hard to do things quote unquote right. And the guilt that we feel, because all we want is to raise the safest, healthiest, happiest people who exited our bodies.
Totally.
And when we hear that we're doing something that might hurt them, it really fucks us up.
Okay, time out. Very important. You overloved your child? That's not a thing. That's not a thing. So we're just redefining a role here. Pour the love. Pour the love. Just let yourself understand what your role is. You said it. This is hard. Parenting is a job. Can you just let those words sit for a second? It's an actual job. The weird part about this job is there's love and there's feelings and there's relationship. And there's so it's the most unique job in the world. Yet it is a job. And the job is to work yourself out of a job. Okay, parents out there that are besties with their kids, they're not bad persons. Persons? They're not bad people.
People. I would say people.
Okay, great. The closeness is good. You're overloving your kid. And I'm telling you, there's nothing wrong with overloving. Overparenting? Yes. Best friending your child? Yes. But overloving? No, you're good on that. So remember, you are going to understand that you are the safe place for your child. We want to create safety because it lowers anxiety. And that comes with being the leader, the one that is setting the rules and the boundaries. You are giving your child permission to separate from you. And that's easier done when you're not their bestie.
And something that I just thought of at the end of the episode that was aired last week, where we talked about ChatGPT, one of the action steps that you gave was be the chat for someone else, right? So I want to like differentiate what we just said about how we don't want the parent, you don't want to be like the parent version of ChatGPT where you're not giving any friction because that's not really teeing them up for having friendships where no one's going to agree with you all the time. So there's a difference between helping your child organize their thoughts and helping your child have like justified like validation and action steps versus come to mommy. I'm going to make this all better for you. And you don't need anybody else in the world but me.
Exactly. You are their guide. You said the word with. That was beautiful. You're their guide. There are lessons for you to teach. Remember, this is a job. There's some shit that you got to do here. So it's not always going to feel good. And you get to be there for your child. There is a balance. There is a difference in being a friend. If you go look up Webster's, if Webster said it, it's true, right?
Webster's like the dictionary.
Yeah. Webster's the dictionary.
Like I just keep a dictionary on me at all times. Amy, who the fuck reads Webster's? What are you talking about? Go to Webster's. So,
but really, the definition of friend is equal, and parents aren't equal to their child. Yeah, you can be the safe place for them, but it's not the warm and fuzzy and everything's perfect and good in this world. It's a skill. It's learned. You know what I do in therapy is dive into the insight, but without the action steps, we don't really make the change quick enough, or even if at all.
And this is literally the part that gets me so excited. And I just have to like give y'all like a little peek behind the curtain here. Okay, hear me for a second. I don't know if you're in therapy. I don't know who you are, but I will soon. I'm going to assume that if you are, your therapist doesn't look at you and tell you what to do. Your therapist is probably so great, so pretty, probably has a really poorly decorated office. And why do they all do that? I don't know. It's like, who decorated your place? Did you go to Goodwill blindfolded and be like, yeah, I'll take that?
I literally left a therapist because she had too much wicker. I did. That was it. That was the, what is it? The needle that broke the hay. What happens when you break
the hay? No, that is not the phrase. It is not the needle that broke the hay. It's the, damn it, where's our dictionary? Wait, be better than Wicker. That's like, wait, do you remember that movie Crazy Sexy Love when Ryan Gosling tells Steve Carell, like, be better than The Gap?
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Better than Wicker.
I got to go back. You're in the Wicker office and the therapist says to you, you're like, well, what do I do? And the therapist looks at you and says, well, what do you think you should do? Oh my God, fuck off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You're the therapist.
I was at my physical therapist last week and she did not say to me, what do you think would work to help your shoulder feel better? I don't know what would help my shoulder feel better. Tell me the exercise to do because I'm in pain. I want change. And that's what I do. I know what's up. I'm going to tell you what to do that works. Now, if you resist or if it doesn't work, I'll go there with you. I'm your therapist. I'm going to do the validation. I'm going to do the feeling. I'm going to do the insight. And I'm going to tell you what I know is going to work to make change.
Which not all therapists or most therapists do. So if you guys didn't listen to the last episode, which I don't know how many times we've mentioned the last episode, make sure you go listen to it. This is why this show is called Now What? Because the way that Amy, the beautiful, lovely, and talented Amy, frames up her what do you fucking do, she calls it now what, right? Like meaning, okay, now that we've talked, now that we've identified the problem, now what?
Now what do you do
so you can do things differently? Amy will actually tell you what to do differently. This is the part that makes me so excited for not only this podcast, but what you're bringing to the world.
It does feel good. We found the way of therapy that is going to change lives. So speaking of now what, let's do it. Let's change lives here. We've got the insight. We understand the why. Now what can you do to help yourself not be your child's best friend and be the role of the parent? So the first now what I'm going to give you is it's about boundaries. It's about holding a boundary because when you hold a boundary, that's in parent world. Holding a boundary is being a parent. Yeah, adult friends hold boundaries. Boundaries exist in relationships. But when we're talking about a parent-child relationship, when you catch yourself holding a boundary, you know you're in the right place. What you can do is you can, look, we're all going to slip and slide. Hello, I'm raising my hand high, high, high in the sky. There have been times where I've been like, well, all right, well, you don't want this for dinner. That's cool. What do you want? Or you really don't want to go to karate today. All right, well, what do you want to do? However, if you see yourself folding and giving in a lot, that is more leaning friend zone. So how you can fine tune the parent role, if this is an issue, I want you to amp up the boundaries. That puts you in that leadership authority role, which creates safety. And that's why we do it. Boundaries create safety. I said it slowly because I want it to sink in. When we have a boundary, kids feel safe, period, end of story. So creating a boundary will keep you in that parent role. It's a hack. Okay, now what, number two, and this is fun. I'm bringing the fun here. I'm going to send you on a double date. You and your friend and your child and their friend, and I do not want it to be your friend's kid. I would like it to be separate. I want your friend and your child's friend. You all will go to the, where are you going to go, Andrea?
I mean, I would go to a bar.
Okay.
That's probably not the best place.
Let's go to mall. You go to the mall with your child and their friend and you and their friend. You all drive together, fine. Then you split up. They go to their stores. Send them to Brandy. You go to Neiman's. I don't know.
Brandy? What is Brandy?
Okay, boy mom. I'm a boy mom and I know.
I've never heard of Brandy Melville.
Is that her first name?
When you said Brandy, I thought of like the 90s singer. I'm like, she's got a soul.
I'd rather it be this separate experience on this double date. And the child gets to feel what it's like to be, again, I'm going to go to that permission. We're giving your child permission to have fun without you. That goes so far. I'm over exaggerating this separateness by going together and really explicitly saying, here we're together, but we're not. There's more subtle ways, but if you're besties with your kid, I don't need it to be subtle. You are taking control and you are making the decision. Oh my God, that feels safe. Again, I'll go to that permission. It's letting your child know it's okay. They need that because they will gravitate towards, I need to feed my mom. Okay. There's one more now what that's pretty simple and clean. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through that, you know, that boundary thing and that helps you stay in that role. And we've gone to this little experiential thing of practicing and being very deliberate about, nope, this is my friend and that's your friend. And that helps with separation and individuation. Now I'm going to give you something really simple. Drum roll, please. Get rid of the label. Stop saying best friend. Just stop saying it. Omit that from your vocabulary. Clean and simple. It's your kid. It's not your best friend. So just take that out. And once again, I am not talking about closeness. You can be close and not be best friends with your child. I'm not asking you to get up closeness and specialness and a beautiful relationship. I'm asking you to be the parent. So take that label out of your vocabulary.
Okay, so to recap the action steps here, it would be have boundaries, set the boundaries, keep them so the kid feels safer, right? Mm-hmm. It's not the, where do you want to go to dinner? It's the, here's where we're going. Or the kid's like, I don't want to go to school today. I just want to hang out with you all day. Have the boundary. Maybe sometimes they stay home, but it's not like, yeah, you're my best friend. So we do whatever we want, whenever we want. Mm-hmm. The other one was the whole double dating thing.
This is a double date that's a little bit skewed in that you start out together and then you separate.
And then the last one was really simple. Don't say best friend. Change the label, if you will.
Change the label. Yep.
Got it.
If we identify as best friend and we give it that label, that's what it will be. So just change the name.
I think.
Or don't say it.
What's so interesting about this conversation is it started so muddy. It started so overwhelming and like, I don't know how we're going to get through this. But then once you got to the action steps, it's so much easier than I thought it would be to be healthier with the kid. Because I mean, truth be told, like I thought before we started recording this, I'm like, oh, it's going to be easy. Like, I don't really do this. And then I got really overwhelmed because I'm like, oh my God, I do more of this than I think. And I started to feel anxious. But then it's like when once we got to the point of like, no, it's okay. Here's all you need to do to slowly shift it because it's not like a light switch. It's not like, yeah, it actually feels easier. I know that this was not my personal therapy session, but I feel better.
Good. And that's the point. And that's the point in my therapy, Andrea. The point is to feel better. The point is to change. So that first part of that muddiness and that maybe a little overwhelm and that like, ooh, all of this information coming at me, we clean it up at the end with here's what you can do. And it really does bring that person up to the surface. Mm-hmm. And that's where change happens. And that's what we want. And I don't want it to take forever. I want it to be sort of immediate.
Can I be the therapist for a minute?
Go. I love it.
I want to therapize you. I love learning about people by what they buy. And I love, like, secretly, do you ever look at when you're at the grocery store and you look at the person in front of you on like what's on like the little conveyor belt? I don't know what you call that thing. And you like look at all the stuff they're buying and you're like totally making a judgment call on who they are and like what they do and like, are they lonely? How many cats do they have? Or, you know, whatever. But groceries are boring. I want to know about Amazon. So we were talking about shopping a minute ago. You mentioned it. I got super jealous because I don't really go to the mall with my boys. I wish that I had a daughter and we would do the mall double date because I love shopping and I buy things to make me happy. And you're not even about to go down that road because I will stop you and tell you that it's healthy. So nope. Nope. What have you bought?
Lips, I actually had to close my mouth and bite my tongue.
Hear me. This is my show now and things will make you happy. Thanks for joining us. No, but I want to know what's in your cart.
Okay. You want to know what's in my cart? You want to know what's in my cart? It's the face thing. Everybody's freaking doing like a face mask thinking it's going to change their life. So I looked at all the, what face mask? What's it called?
Are you talking about like the Korean things that we put on? Like the
yes.
The paste, like that?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I don't do it. So I started searching for like the best face mask. So I have like 30, exaggeration, probably 5 different ones, and I can't pull the trigger and I don't know which one to get. So of course, what do? I'm like, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart, add to cart.
Okay. I love that. And what that says about you is, no, I'm not going to really therapize you. I just wanted you to tell everybody what's in your cart because I love this stuff. Okay, I don't care what it says about you.
Like, I did it. What do you got?
Okay. All right. There's a lot in my cart right now. A lot of quick, fast fashion stuff because with my podcast, we're doing a rebranding photo shoot next week. So I have a lot of that kind of stuff in the cart for both me and my podcast partner, Morgan. I also have some Korean skincare masky things. I've got a big issue with my eyes right now. I have a consult to get an upper bleph and a lower bleph and an inner bleph and an outer bleph. I'm just kidding. But I have an insecurity about the eyes, so I found these little masks. Wait, do you ever return things from Amazon? Like after you buy it and you use it for like a minute, do you ever?
I have a really moral dilemma with that. Yes, yeah. And I hate it. Is that okay?
I feel bad straddle
the line. I hate it.
Okay, but I have this joke that I do when, my husband hates this. You know how now Amazon makes you give a reason for why you're returning it? It's like, ooh, tell us more. Why didn't this work out? And first you have to click,
I
didn't
fit too small. Only imagine what you say.
Every single time I write about my husband, I write, ugh, my husband didn't like this dress on me. Oh my God. Or I'll write, ugh, and it'll be like clothes for my kids. And I'll be like, ugh, my husband said he's actually not a boy's 8 anymore. ... I don't know. Or I'll write the most, because you have to write
That's
something.
Great. That is great. So that description is so telling. Here you go. This is what I write. You know, I really, really liked it. It just, I really do. I loved it. It wasn't you. It was me. It's not you. It's me. That's where I go. But my son really keeps me in line, even with the purchase and return. So I've got all these things in my cart, and I'm like hearing my son Alex's moral voice saying, Mom, the trucks, the delivery, come on, the world. And I'm like, shit. And then I'm like, sneak the add to cart, and I come home and I get the packages really quick.
My, it's the same. I mean, every time Amazon pulls up, I literally hear Steve, my husband, yell, what? Now. And my kids are like, Mommy, what did you get? And I'm like, I think it's just like something for the house. No, it's not. It's something for me.
I think I'm going to pull the trigger and I'm going to make a purchase on the mask. I'm going to make a purchase on the mask because some people feel like, well, what I hear on the street is that it makes you feel better. And I think we got to talk another time on why masks are supposed to make you feel better and what this is supposed to deliver.
My God, wait, next episode, let's talk about this. Like, okay. Let's episode, I think we really need to have a conversation about this whole like self-care movement and how we think that this stuff, like sometimes it does make us feel better, but sometimes we do the shit and we don't really know why we're doing it and it's not really helping.
I can help you through this. Okay, so here's what I want you guys to remember on Besties with Your Kid. Well, in a nutshell, don't do it. End of story. We're done. Signing off now. No, what I want you to remember is there is so much you are giving your child in staying in your lane. Fine-tune the parent role. Keep the closeness. Both can happen.
And friends, stay in touch with us. Stay in touch with Amy. Go and follow her on her social media. The handle is Amy Neufeld Therapy everywhere. IG, TT, FB, FBI. All the places. You can also email Amy at hello@amyneufeldtherapy.com.
I'm really happy everybody is joining us today because together with me as your leader, we're going to make change and you're going to feel better. And with that, my friends, we'll see you next week. The Now What podcast is purely for entertainment and education purposes and shall not be used in place of your individual therapy.